on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is not yesterday, not tomorrow, this one. This is the only one we have. Yesterday's a distant memory over our shoulder. Tomorrow is down the road, baby. Before we can get to tomorrow, we got to make it through today. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Got a lot of stuff on the plate as we normally do, and I just pray that the Lord's going to help order our steps here, that we do this in an honorable way. I want to jump right off the bat and talk. Give you a little bit of update on Jeremiah Thomas. Jeremiah was... he went in and had surgery done. We all know about that. Came out of surgery yesterday. It was like his five and six, his fifth and sixth vertebrae. That's where the growth was. And they went in and cut that off and reinforced it. And about a 4 or 5 hour surgery. And they were concerned whether he would have his movement back in his toes and his legs and everything. And so praise the Lord. He passed. He made it through the first phase. Went into recovery, put him into ICU and into recovery. And he stood up yesterday, his toes and his legs. He needs therapy, but praise the Lord that the doctors did a good job and that he's not paralyzed. Doesn't appear to be paralyzed in any way. Effectual fervent prayer for righteous man availeth much. But truth be told, and that's what we try to do, be truth tellers here. He's got quite a challenge ahead. I mean, unless the Lord touches him and heals him in the midst of it, he's still got some other things he has to deal with in his body. So let's continue to. Let's continue to lift him up and let's speak life into him. Let's pray that word over him. And what a testimony, man. What a testimony of the Thomas family and the literally thousands of people have come alongside and have encouraged them and held up their arms. You get a guy like Rusty and you think about it. What can I do for him? He's on my mind all the time, popped into my mind all the time, and you say, well, I'll pray for you, Rusty. Well, good. I mean, but golly, would you ever sleep if that was your son? Would you ever sleep at night? Would you ever have a peace? I mean, I think of the number of times I wake up in the middle of the night and little things are bothering me and tormenting me. I don't know. I can't imagine walking through that. And I know Rusty's love for his family and his family's common love for each other. And, when people talk about why does God let bad things happen to good people? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? Well, we know this. The scripture says there are none not right. None righteous, no, not one. It's only the righteousness of Jesus that makes us be able to even claim that. But Jeremiah is a man. He's a model in my mind, 16-year-old kid. And I want to watch the Lord restore him and raise him up. So that they still will. They still covet your prayers. They still need your prayers. He's a battler. He said, let's take this thing head on. Let's beat this thing. And we know that. With God, Jesus being the author and the finisher of his faith, we just trust and believe that God will raise that young man up. Anybody like to pray specifically for that situation here this morning?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. We all pray for Jeremiah.
Would you pray for him right now, Vinny?
Absolutely. Jesus, will you take Jeremiah into your hands and grant unto him your blessing, heal him, and bring him back home to Rusty and his family? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Guide all the men. See, I don't believe. I believe you guys know this. That whatever turned that button on that uncontrolled growth of abnormal cells. That's what cancer is defined as. Something turned that switch on, and something could turn that switch off just as easily. And so we're just believing for a miracle for Rusty Thomas and his family. Scream it from the mountaintops.
Hey, you know, before you continue, you know, this is
yes, Vin.
Once again, we talk about our bodies being suborned by the pharmaceutical
yes.
companies, and this is one of those examples. Our, you mm-hmm. know, Jeremiah's body should be able to take care of anything that attacks it, just like Ted Brewer's son who had pericarditis last year. It was
right.
You know, of course, we prayed, and he was brought back whole. I imagine the same will happen with Jeremiah. But
yeah, we don't even think about holistic medicine anymore, do we, Vinny? And eating the right kind of foods and stop eating other foods, and we get so far away from cause and effect. Our answer when something like this has happened, well, let's go to the doctor and have him shoot some medicine inside of us. We think that's the answer. When a lot of it is preventative, if we would cut off some of this stuff, we don't know whether it's food. We don't know what it could be, but we do know that we're being poisoned in a lot of different ways. And, you know, we remember John Hartzler was on there, talked about the GMOs and all that stuff that's going on inside of us. So,
terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, big pharma. Pharma's big business, man. Big business. And I'm going to say this, and I don't have any evidence to back it up. You mean to tell me they don't have a cure for cancer? Come on now. How long have we been fighting this stuff? Yeah, it seems to me cancer is big business. Big business.
Oh, Coach, I guess you need to shut up because we have cures for cancer.
Yeah.
We have cures for cancer. They're outlawed because they work and they're cheap. That's how.
There's no money in cure.
There's no money in cure. Okay, hey, listen, here we go. I've been excited. This is Flea Flicker Friday. And I get a lot of emails. Mark Trump's going to share something with us here too today. Time out. I'm getting ahead of myself. Folks, please. Occupy 2018. The word's gone forth. I was on Hagman. I was on with Paul Begley. I was on with Mike Kerr. The word's gone forth. We're already out of hotel rooms. There aren't any hotel rooms left in Canton. Well, there are in Canton, not in the hotel we're in. We have tickets available for the event itself, but hotels are getting tight. So if you're going to come, you're planning on staying in the hotel where the event's being held. Probably not going to be able to do that. So just go Google Canton, Ohio, Akron, Ohio, the same place, Canton. Hotels in Canton, and then you can go, you know, pick one. You want a $500 a night one, you can have one. If you want a $60 a night one, those are available too. So get in there. It's going to be a great, great, it's just going to be great. I'm just telling you it is. Occupy 2018, you can find all the information there. And we apologize, you know, we're not having troubles with the website. Jared's doing some switching over some issues with the website, and some people have been going there and they've been trying to get they've been trying to register, and they've been running into a problem. Jared's getting all that stuff worked out. So there, Jared's got up on the screen a lot of different hotels that are there. So right there, it's football. Remember, Football Hall of Fame and Goodyear Tire and Firestone. It's all right there. This is where LeBron James is from, Akron, Ohio. Okay, this is where it is. Cleveland's about 30 miles up the road. So right in the middle, Kent State. Well, I'm looking at the map there. Okay, so come on, man. Come in here, Mark Trump, and come and support those guys and the Alphabet Man and all that kind of stuff. By the way, when I was telling those people about David Arthur, most people don't have any idea. You're going to be a shock to most people, David. I don't know what they think you're going to. I don't know what they think when you tell somebody it's an ex-tranny. First of all, I got to tell you, that turns people off. That very thought. What? Living 30 years as a woman? Yeah. Oh, so they can't get it in their mind. But then when I explained to them what happened to you, and what you're doing and exposing the LGBTQRSLSD movement, then all of a sudden their ears perk up. Oh, yeah? You mean you aren't born that way? So we're gonna have an interesting time. But what I want to do this morning, I'm going to call it, you know, it's Flea Flicker Friday, but I want to flick some fleas. I hear a lot from, I'm sure you guys too do, probably right in your families. Some of you right now are just dipping your toes into the water here at CoachDaveLive.com. Probably hearing from your wives or your kids. What's going on? That guy's a cult leader. Why are you always talking about him? Are you following some cult? What's going on? Right. I know some of you are hearing that. Probably, maybe from your spouse. And I've been very, very aware of it. That's why I try to publicly say as often as I can, don't follow me. I ain't Jim Jones. Don't follow me. I'm not Charlie Manson. Don't follow me. I want you to live out and work out your own salvation right where you live. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people know something's wrong, and they don't have any idea what they're supposed to do about it. And then I come in the queue in the morning, and I look down our list of what do we have in here today. 27 people that are in here today. Most of us are You know, I'm 65. Some are older than me. Most are a little bit younger than me. And I've been saying all along, we got to get the next generation. We got to get the next generation. And we got to be counterculture and yada, yada, yada. Well, I ran into a guy that I met in Dallas a year ago, Todd Barham. I ran into him, and he says, you're not going to believe this, Coach. He says, our daughter watches you every morning. I said, what? I said, how old is she? He said, well, she's 16 or 17. I can't remember what he told me. He says, 16 or 17. She watches you every morning. She texts me. Did you hear what Coach said today? Yada, yada, yada. And I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. Get some young people. Man, we got to get a hold of them. But then he goes on, he explains to me, Coach, you don't understand. There's more than that going on in Lexi's. She's becoming a warrior for you. We're going to the abortion clinics and yada, 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 yada. And so I sent Lexi a text and said, so I can't remember. Then I ran into her in Dallas again. And she talked about going to the abortion clinics and raising up the other classmates and talking about it. And now she's homeschooled. She wasn't homeschooled for a while, but now she's on homeschooling. I'm trying to lock her up with Mark Harrington to go on a justice ride. Some of you don't know what those are, but those are unbelievable abortion training for young kids. And I said, Lexi, come on, you got to come out of your shell. Come on, you got to come in. You got to tell people what's going on. So on your screen right now, folks, is Lexi Hall. 17, Lexi? Are you 17?
I'm 16.
16. She looks older than that. She looks older than that. So Lexi, listen, I don't want to, God bless you. First of all, I love your sweet spirit, and I appreciate you being down there in Houston and getting up an hour early. Lexi, just try to explain to everybody a little bit, what happened. Your journey here with Coach Dave Live and the Q and the Huddle and how it has impacted your own life. But folks, hang on, Lexi. I say this, folks, because listen, maybe you ought to get your kids listening. Maybe you ought to pay them $10 a day to listen. Because we need young kids. Go ahead, Lexi. I'm sorry. Just tell us how this whole thing came about.
Well, my mom and my stepdad were showing me a lot of your videos and stuff. And at the beginning, I kind of thought you were kind of crazy. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Well, because they were telling me so much about, like, how the church was, like, lukewarm and everything and telling me that. And, you know, I was going to church every Sunday, and I was, like, kind of, like, getting angry because, like, they would think that what they were teaching in the church was wrong, you know, and like, lukewarm and stuff. So I was kind of, like, who are these people? But I kept watching. My mom kept having me watch your videos and stuff, and it made so much more sense once I, like, put down my ego and everything about, like, my other church and everything. And, so I started watching your videos. I think, was I 15? I don't know. I watched them last summer is whenever I started watching your videos. And, that's basically how I started watching your stuff and everything. And then I got deeper and deeper into, like, seeing the truth, and, God really opened my eyes through the show and everything.
Especially the abortion issue, right, Lexi? Mm-hmm. Tell us what the Lord's done in your heart regarding abortion.
Well, so watching your show and everything, you talking about abortion, talking about people going out and doing everything, you know, it really made me want to go do something. It made me feel bad I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing, you know, is watching. It doesn't really matter if I'm – well, I mean, it matters if I'm just watching, but it does not really do anything other than help me. Mm. But, you know, it doesn't –
Amen.
No impact. No impact.
So, yep. I mean, just sitting here watching doesn't really matter except going out and doing it. So I really wanted to go out and do it for a while. And then so we started going out a few months ago, and me, my mom, and just my family and stuff. So, yeah.
So Lexi, did your mom and your stepdad start going just because they felt an obligation to you? I mean, you wanted to go, and they wanted to encourage. Is that how the whole thing kind of began? How did you go to your mom and say, Mom, I want to go to the abortion clinic? And what was her reaction?
Well, so I watched, like, some other YouTube videos of, like, people going out to abortion clinics, you know, and talking to people, like, exchanges and everything. And so I showed my mom all those videos, too, and we would watch them together and stuff. And we both, like, kind of, like, agreed, yeah, we need to go out, we need to go out, we need to go out and do something. But it kind of took, like, well, I didn't go out until after I left school because it was kind of hard to, you know, do anything whenever I had school all week till, you know, forever. Oh, I hated it. And then, you know, then the weekend you comes and you need to do all these other things. So, anyways, so, yeah, we were kind of both, like, saying, yeah, yeah. And then one day we were just like, well, let's just order some pamphlets. I got our pamphlet. We ordered some of these pamphlets. And we just went out there. Went out to the abortion clinic. We didn't know really what we were doing.
Amen.
We talked to this one guy that was there and asked him about, like, all the rules and everything, about, like, where you can stay and stuff. And so, yeah, then we've been going out there ever since. But, yeah, I feel like we kind of get motivated to go, like, you know, keep up with it from, like, I don't know. I feel like if we miss any time or if we don't go, it's just, like, wasting your time, like your life is just wasting. I get very like,
amen.
Anxious, you know.
Amen.
Because like it's just so much time going by. Dude.
So Lexi, what is now that you've been doing it for a while, and thank God for your mom and your stepdad, and your brother who are encouraging you to do it, because you probably aren't getting a whole lot of encouragement other places. Mm-hmm. What have you learned, Lexi, just in your time being out in front of the clinic? That what have you learned most that you could share with people maybe who've wanted to do it, but just haven't, for whatever reason, they're fearful or they're misinformed. What if you just went out and did it, and what would be your advice to them?
It's not scary at all. I don't know. So the first day I went out there, I was nervous, and I was nervous because, you know, I've never, like, talked to anybody, and I was going to be talking to, like, adults and whatever, and I was scared because, like, you know, what do I say? I didn't know anything really at all. I still don't know anything. But
you knew it was a baby, didn't you? You knew it was a baby and it had a right to live.
Yeah, so I was nervous the first time I went out there, but even after the first person we talked to, I wasn't nervous at all because the thing that's going on in there is literally murder. So if you're on the right side, you're on the side of God. So anything else is like nothing. Like it's literally nothing. I don't like who cares about, I don't know. Yeah. It's not scary because you have God on your side and you're standing up for, you're standing against murdering babies. So, in my mind, if you look at it that way, like, if anybody, like, you know, flicks you off, cusses you out, does anything, it's, like, it makes no sense to us since we see, like, abortion is murdering babies and everything. So it makes no sense to us, like, y'all are the nuts and they're thinking the Lord the nuts, but I'd rather be called an insane person than be standing up for abortion.
But you're not nuts, are you, Lexi? I mean, no. The average, it's a baby, right? You got to be nuts to think it's not a baby, right?
Yeah,
that's why the word says broad is the way and narrow, right? Many and few. And you think of all the friends that you have, and they're probably still your friends. How many of them see it the way that you see it? And it's very few, isn't it, Lexi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've offered, you know, for a few friends at my old school and everything. And, yeah, I don't think they're going to take me up on it. But, they say, congratulations, whatever, that's really good, you're going out and doing this. Because, like, whenever I came home schooled, I said that was, like, one of my main reasons, so I can go out to the abortion clinics, you know, more time and everything. You know, they don't really understand. They think it's kind of, like, a waste of my time, more like, and like, you know, throwing away my future. Oh, I can't go to public school anymore. My future is gone. Like, oh, no way.
But you've left public school and you're being homeschooled now, right? And you're on an accelerated, you want to get out of there and you want to get on with your life. And isn't this something? Hey, Todd, I don't know her stepdad. Todd, I don't know if you can unmute yourself and jump in here a minute. Come on in here, Todd, and just talk a little bit, Todd, about the change that you've seen in Lexi's life.
Yeah, in the time that I've been involved in Lexi's life, it's been a huge change. And what I've seen from a spiritual standpoint is she has just God has lit a fire inside of her, And she's just exploded as far as her faith is concerned. I've seen her faith and her desire. And most of all, I think it's her love for God that's really, really expanded. And when she's describing how she was nervous out there, I tell you what, she went from being nervous to just absolutely being bold and rebuking abortion workers and telling them they need to repent. I mean, it's been this beautiful young lady, shy, going to this warrior for God. It is the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed.
Hey, Dave. Unbelievable, huh? Yeah, Rod.
I take Lexi in another direction real quick. Lexi, can you hear okay?
Yes, sir.
And I may not be able to pose the question well, but Dave can help me. We hear a lot that we should leave our Christian kids high school age in the high schools because they can be a great witness to everybody in the high school. My experience has been that the Christian kid that goes into the public high school very seldom witnesses, and it's actually the high school that changes the Christian kid.
Mm-hmm.
That this idea of the high school is a mission field, let's send our youth group kids into the mission field and they're going to witness to everybody and save them all. I believe that is a lie. Am I off base?
Well, no. So, you know, I went to public school my whole entire life until middle of junior year. So I was lukewarm. I went to church every Sunday, but, you know, didn't really know anything at all, barely read my Bible and everything. So, you know, I was taught so much that was, like, a lie, and that, I don't know, like, how to even describe it. It's not even just in science class, but the things that they tell you is so, like, against, like, the Bible. It's so unbiblically based. Like, it's amazing how much they can change your mind and, like, form your mind and everything. And not even just saying evolution is true, because I never believed evolution was, like, real whenever I was there. But the little things that they would sneak in here and there, I'm, like, having to, like, deprogram from all this stuff. So I can definitely see where all these people are, like, falling back and everything, because they're, like, programming in there. And also, I would say, there are a few people... few like teenagers that go out and really, really do what they're supposed to do, and they like go and preach and stuff during lunch and everything, then they get, you know, suspended and whatever. But like they use like all that they could. If I was going back to school, what I would do is I would have tons of gospel tracts, whatever. I'd go back to school for like a week or whatever, tons of gospel tracts, hand them out, you know, talk to people. Like I talk to people in my classrooms and everything. We would have discussions, and it's just so amazing how literally nobody is Christian. Even the people who say, there's this one girl who's at the table next to me, and my table was starting to get a little, you know, I talk very loud whenever I get passionate about this. So, you know, the whole class was kind of like listening after that. And so this one girl, her mom was my preschool. I went to the same preschool and church, like my preschool is my church, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So she was my Sunday school Sunday school leader, her mom, and she's gone to church with me my whole entire life. I can't remember the question they asked, but she wouldn't answer. I think it was something like, do people go to hell or something? And, I don't know, something like that. And she couldn't answer. She's like, I don't know. And I was like, yes, what are you talking about? Like, what are these people? They don't want to offend anybody. And they don't care at all. And they don't understand, like, the consequences of what they're doing whenever they're proclaiming to be a Christian. And then they say things that aren't even true, what the consequences of that is. And so it's just so crazy.
Lexi, what made your faith come alive? Because you said by your own admission that you were just, you were like everybody else. And then all of a sudden something happens. And what can you point at a moment, or maybe it was just a period of time that happened?
Well, yeah, I would definitely say last summer because, I started watching your videos. I actually read the Bible. And so before I would read the Bible, sometimes I would fall asleep reading it. to be honest, because I didn't, like, you can be so blind. I was so blinded that I didn't even, like, the Bible is written in a way that only certain people can understand it fully. I can't understand it fully, but, like, understand it. Whenever you're so lukewarm, you're so blinded, or you're not even a believer, and you're just reading just to read it, you're so blinded to what it's actually saying. Because whenever I pick it up now, you know, you're getting revelation, you're understanding, you're seeing things, and whatever. But it's like you're reading the same book, but you literally don't. It's like so boring to you because you don't get the spiritual aspect. You don't get all the different dimensions, obviously, that are in the Bible that are actually in real life, you know. Like, I have a lot of friends. I have my one of my best friends, you know, she's a proclaiming Christian. They believe that the, like, Jonah and the whale, that did not actually happen because it can't be scientifically proven or whatever. They believe that it was just, like, a metaphor. Like, what are y'all talking? Like, there's so many people. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you going to call that a metaphor?
So, Lexi, you were surrounded by Christian kids at school who could not defend the faith. They didn't even believe it. They just went to church, part of a youth group, all of that stuff. But when the rubber met the road, they couldn't defend themselves at all.
Mm-hmm. And some of the worst kids go to church. Like, they go to church every Sunday, and they're the worst kids. Like, you know, so it doesn't matter if you go to church because, well, I know there's good churches out there. I know, obviously, Mr. Dale and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But the churches out around here that I've ever been to, they're trash. They're filled with people who don't even believe. They're filled with people who, like, think that things are metaphors in the Bible that so aren't. Like, let's tell the Catholics, it's not, you're not really eating Jesus. You're not really drinking his blood. Let's tell them that, yes. But the fact that, like, are they going to say the resurrection was a metaphor? I don't know what they think. That it's just crazy to me.
Lexi, you're becoming a star. And the reason you're becoming a star is because the Lord has marked you. He's put a mark on your forehead. And I'm telling you, sister, there's something big going on. Somebody want to ask Lexi something. Lexi, we didn't mean for you to be the star of the show this morning, but I can't shift off of this right now. Anybody want to jump in here?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George.
Hey, Coach, I'll just say this. Yeah, real quick, Lexi. I'm getting ready to head down to the Tulsa Abortion Clinic, but I had my wife listen to you here, and we like you. Wow.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And you know what? You're bold, and Coach is right. God has a mighty call on your life, and you stay humble and stay locked in, and he's going to use you mightily.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks, George. Anybody else want to jump in?
Yeah. Lexi, I'm curious. Did you experience the same thing I did my first time at an abortion, holding a pretty strong sign up and stuff, that I didn't really know how I was going to react to negative responses when I was standing there? And I found that my response for the folks that gave me the bird and yelled cuss words at me and stuff, I felt sorry for them.
Yes, because you know the truth of what's actually going to happen to them unless they repent. And so, well, the first time I went out there, sorry, I'll do this really bad. The first time I went out there, the first guy who ever flicked me off ever or said anything to me was actually the abortionist. I didn't even know that was the abortionist until last week because I saw him and somebody told me that was the abortionist. And I was like, sir, you need to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. You have innocent blood on your hand, you know, saying that. Because I said that to anybody. It doesn't matter who works there because I didn't know it was him. Whoever, they still have innocent bloodshed on their hands because they support it. But anyways, sorry. And so he goes, whatever. And then he goes behind his head and flicks me off. And, you know, it's I don't want to laugh because, like, you know the actual consequences of him murdering so many babies. And, you know, like, flicking me off and everything, it doesn't really matter. Who cares if you flick me off? It doesn't affect me. But, like,
see, but Lexi, the Bible calls that you have a face like flint. See, Folks, this is really critical. When you get out there and you get on the street and you begin to war for truth, the Lord puts a Holy Spirit protection around you. They call it a face like flint. It's not that you don't hear. It's not that those darts don't hit you, but they're not able to pass through this, what the Lord's, the veil that the Lord's put around you. And Lexi's obviously experiencing that. Somebody else jump in here.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach. It's Scott. Hey, yeah, Tom. Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that, you know, when we first went out to the clinic, you know, I'm an engineer and I have to plan everything and I got to, you know, do everything in a very linear, logical manner and said, okay, we got to plan this. We got to scope it out. We got to do all this stuff. And we did. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to get other churches involved. And so my wife called some churches and asked, hey, would you help us out? We're just a family. We want to go out and do this at the abortion clinic. And all of the churches said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't go. And one of them, he said, well, it's too controversial. So,
wow.
So we can't say we didn't try, but we were left alone. And so we just said, okay, we're going to go out and we're just going to do this. And Lexi, she describes herself, but she is very bold. I am nowhere near as bold as Lexi. And what has happened is that she is pushing us to, hey, we want to go down. We need to go down. We need to go down. So God has put something in her heart that is just so amazing. And the Holy Spirit's really been pushing on me that I need to do things to help her out. Because amen. I think he's anointing her for something. I don't know what it is, but there is something that he's anointing her to do.
Amen, for sure. And it's your obligation as the father in the home. It's your obligation to help her become everything that the Lord wants her to be. You're the priest of the home. Anybody else? Yep.
Yes, Coach, if I may. Two things.
Hey, Dale.
Hey, brother. Well, welcome to the battle first.
yeah.
Lexi, welcome to battle. I personally oversee all the T-shirt sales for Operation Save America. I'd have Coach get me all sizes. We'll send you T-shirts down there for you to wear out there to be billboards. But I want to read a passage of Scripture for you, Lexi, over you. And I have a nice T-shirt that I'll send also. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe until he comes and it gives attention to the public scripture reading. And that's what you guys are doing. You're taking the public scripture reading. You're getting the pressure from your peers. Let no one look down upon that youthfulness. Other people in the church look at you and think you're young. Don't let that bother you. You keep pressing on and pressing in.
Boy, Dale, that's a good word, Dale, because we know what she's gone through, right? We know what she's gone through. And Lexi, you don't know what an encouragement you are to us old folks. In fact, you shame us. I know your intention is not to shame us, but you are shaming us. And God
Coach
bless you.
Coach is speaking for himself on that age thing. Hey, we're a homeschool family down here in Louisiana. I got an 18-year-old Lexi, fine young man. It's in college. I got a
yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Hey, that now listen, Dale. That would be a match in made in heaven right there, brother. Hey, he's big and nice looking, Lexi. You better be careful, Todd. I assume you're hearing this.
Hey, Todd. We're homeschoolers. We're homeschoolers all the way. And my oldest son is graduating college this year as an electrical engineer, and we homeschooled our entire life. So we're with you, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's great. Todd, they're trying to marry her off already. Do you believe that?
I know.
No, that's because a godly woman's hard to find today, brother. That's why.
It is.
That's why. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Jared may be jumping in here, Lexi, because, you know, he's, I don't know, Jared, 26, 16, 26.
Dave, stop.
Okay. She's blushing a little bit.
In all seriousness, Coach, if you can get me some sizes and address, I will send them out a plethora of T-shirts for them to wear, the whole family.
You hear that, Lexi? Shoot me an email with the sizes and of your mom and your brother and your dad, and we'll get them sent out to you. What's your address and all that stuff on them? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else?
Hey, this is Vinny from Brooklyn. I just want to tell you we have your six. All right. You go out there and don't you worry. We're not going to let anything happen to you.
No, it's all good.
Not worry about that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So listen, guys, I'm going to Lexi, you're welcome to stay. I'm going to move on to another topic. Here's the encouragement, Lexi, that I'm going to throw out there to everybody. What about your daughter? What about your granddaughter? These are the type of children that we as men of God ought to be raising. Lexi shouldn't be somebody help me out with the word. She shouldn't be the exception. Right. She should. Certainly there's a call upon her life, but she shouldn't be the only one. We're putting kids in Christian schools and they don't have this in their heart like Lexi has it. Something is seriously amiss and we have to take a good hard look at ourselves.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What an amazing mentor you have there for Reese.
Oh, man, huh? Yeah,
she's so cute. Little Reese's the cutest little girl ever.
Well, she is. Next to the two that followed her, I got to be careful. I got my other grandkids. I get you, though. Well, she's a seven-year-old. Seven-year-old. But Lexi, God bless you, dear, and you've been a great encouragement to us. Jeff.
Just want to let her know that she has been a blessing this morning on this show. And I've just thought of that. I'm going to have my grandkids, especially the granddaughters, watch this segment of the show this morning and just ask
pay them to watch it. Pay them to watch it. Pay them to watch it.
I'll give them $20.
Yep. Hey, Coach, could you possibly maybe have that piece broken out? That's a great idea. What a witnessing tool that could be.
Jared can break that up for us, put a part of it into YouTube and all that.
Hey,
Lexi,
Lexi,
listen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Lexi, this is Glenn. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send this out to the youth pastor at the church we attend.
Oh, yeah.
He'll share that with some of the other teens, okay?
Oh, boy.
That'll be an encouragement to them. Great.
Yes, we have to.
Every time I see Alexa, I saw you at the conference and, of course, down at Chad's house, and you just radiate. Your life is full of joy, and that joy radiates, and you always have a smile on your face, and it's just great. It's just great. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, sir.
And,
amen.
So keep it up.
Hey, Coach.
This is Todd. Hey, I just want to mention that that we have our first Houston Salt and Light Brigade meeting this Saturday. So if there's anybody that would like to participate, I've already sent communications to the people that signed up at the conference. But if there's some listeners out here that's encouraged by Lexi and her testimony, I would just encourage people to just come in. Let's start getting together and we'll start working
Amen.
For the Lord.
Amen. You know, Todd, I want to tip my cap to you as well, because a lot of parents would say, what's going on with Lexi here? Can you calm her down? Can somebody do something about it? And instead, you guys, Todd, it had to be scary for you to go out there. You'd never been there either, right?
I've never been there either. Absolutely. One of the things that what we did in Chad's group, we did a spiritual gifts survey. We were just trying to understand where our gifts are. And, we know where Lexi's gift is.
Yeah.
She's working her gift, I can guarantee you.
That's right. And so we all have gifts. We all need to begin to exercise. Well, God bless you, Todd. Thanks. You're welcome to stay around. Lexi, God bless you. You've been an encouragement to us. And it's actually quite humbling. Bless you guys. Yeah, Jeff.
The activist mommy might be something good for her to tune into, too, for a little more encouragement.
No, that's if she could get together with those kids, with Anna and Charity and all of them. Yeah, the OSA crowd in general, those are God fearing kids. Unbelievable. Lock her up with, well, whatever. I keep trying to set her up with a man. I don't want to do that. Ray, jump in here, Ray. Can you get in here?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. How you doing, man? Because you've seen Lexi eyeball to eyeball, haven't you, brother?
Yeah, she got baptized too, right?
Yeah. Yes. I forgot about that. We baptized her down in Dallas. That's right. Sure. Her mother came out and helped baptize. That was quite I forgot all about that, Ray. That's quite a moment. Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, she was a fireball. She really inspired a lot of us, and it's so great because we're surrounded by guys, I don't know, 60 and over, and when you see these new kids coming in on fire like that, it gives me encouragement because, you know, I want you to bring the rest of your family. Now, Lexi's testimony, like the rest of the guys were saying, share this with other ones that are of that age group, and she's going to be a great encourager, I believe. So,
hey, guys, awesome. Now listen, when you share this, until Jared gets the video chopped up, just tell people, say, just watch it from the 10-minute mark to the start watching it at the 10-minute mark, because people might do that. They might, if you say, turn this video and watch this hour video, they're probably not going to do that. So you got to watch this fabulous testimony beginning at the 10-minute mark, and then let Lexi hook them.
Post it on the Facebook page if not in jail.
Amen, Coach. Imagine her being there at the OSA event like it was last year with that youth.
Oh,
I mean, the Spirit of the Lord falling and literally, and it is, it's rising up that next generation. We're seeing that mantle. She would be encouraged because I know at her age, the peer pressure that comes against her and the isolation that can happen with what she's doing. I mean, my kids were there, been there, we've done that. But, brother, when you get around these children who aren't off to summer camp goofing off, these kids are taking their stand and picking up their shield and wielding the sword of the Spirit, brother. They were slaying giants last summer.
Yeah,
she would be
great.
Greatly encouraged.
Hey, Lexi, let me ask you this real quickly. The idea to homeschool, you were in public school. The idea to homeschool, was that your idea or your mom's idea?
My idea. I really wanted to get out of there. I hated it.
And so you just came to him and explained. I mean, what did you say? I mean, how do you bring that subject up? Hey, Mom, I want out of school. Can't you homeschool me? Is that how you did it?
Basically, yeah. So, well, the real thing was my dad, you know, trying to get him to say yes to that for me to be homeschooled and everything, but luckily, he said yes. But yeah, so I really wanted to for that whole year because you know how I started watching your show last summer. So I was already feeling like, oh, I need to get out of this school. I need to start spending all my time for this.
Wow.
So I was doing that last summer, but you know, I stayed in there for a semester. But I think it was good that I stayed in there because I did get to speak to a lot of people. Not saying that I would want to spend 4 years in there and be, like, programmed by them.
I got you.
It was the bad situation was made well because I could talk to people and everything, but I would never want to stay there for 4 years.
Amen.
Part of that nasty stuff.
Question, Coach. Lexi, in your position, in your age group, have you thought about exposing what the high schools are teaching? Who better to know?
Yeah. But I feel like it's not even, like, for the people that are in the world and don't even know the Bible, it's not even, like, it goes straight past them because everybody learns it, you know? And so it's just, like, the teachers are, like, the most liberal people ever and try to make you feel bad. Like, I remember, you know, how Frozen was coming out and they were going to have, like, homosexual girl, the leader, whatever. She's going to be homosexual, whatever. And so my teacher was, like, talking all about how good that was and how hateful people are. They don't believe it and everything. You know, so it's just those little things. And then there's also, like, you know, the stuff that's written in the books that they have to teach us that is just complete like evolution. They teach it not as theory. They teach it as truth. They teach all these other little things that, like, history class. Oh, I love my homeschool history class because I actually understand it from a biblical worldview. And it's, like,
wow,
so amazing, like, that I actually now understand where the corruption of, like, America came from. And wow, it only came from the from separating us from God. And it only came from these, like, communist, socialist people and haters of God making all this corrupt how it is now. But,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anybody feeling ashamed besides me? God, bless you, Lexi. Bless you, man. Oh, my goodness. Liz, I want to shift gear. I was going to make this testimony Friday. We don't have time to make it testimony Friday as such. But we were talking before we went on the air. I was talking to Mark Trump about artificial intelligence and all that stuff that he's good at. And he said, Coach, you don't know the latest. And he started telling me something about our cell phones. Mark, take a couple minutes here and show us what's going on. By the way, folks, Zuckerberg's in serious trouble. You guys know that, right? They're going to throw him under the bus so fast when he really isn't the guy that's probably doing it. He's just a front man. But they are going to, I'm telling you, they're going to crush him under a greyhound. And this stuff's coming out, Mark, of what they've been doing to us. It's amazing. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's just a matter of us opening our eyes to what's going on and the invasiveness of it. How could Facebook be in trouble for sharing our data that we put publicly? So it's beyond the data that we're putting out there about ourselves and pictures of our families. It's the fact that they're running artificial intelligence and analytics on the data to categorize us. So if you take your phones, I'll show you how on Facebook that you can find your categories. And you'll go to settings. So if you can go to Facebook.
Got to go to Facebook settings. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, Facebook. And then you'll see I got a Droid, and it says account settings.
Okay, for those of us.
If you got an Apple phone, it'll say settings. I have account settings.
I got to find your settings. Everybody's got a different phone. There it is. Okay, settings.
All right, so now you should have a thing called ads.
I don't. Account settings. Is that what I want, Mark?
Account settings and then to ads.
Okay.
Account settings and ads. And once you're on that, you'll see your information, a button.
Ads. Button. Okay. If anybody's not following us, stop us so Mark can get you caught up. So you go to ads, and then it said anybody ad preferences. There?
Yeah, and then you go to your information.
Oh, my goodness, your information.
Slide it up, and you'll see at the very bottom, review and manage your categories. Categories. So when you open can everybody find that? Open your categories. This is the Facebook analytics where it's decided who you are.
All right.
And you can see all of these categories, and you can
unbelievable.
Open them, right? U.S. politics. Like, for instance, U.S. politics, mine says very conservative.
Mine does too, very conservative.
So based on our activity on the social networks, the analytics have categorized us.
Wow.
So now, whenever ads come out, frequent traveler, I have a Galaxy S7, I'm a small business owner, very conservative, I'm a veteran. Right, I'm a veteran on here, right? So
the deal is
if they want to post ads for you to see, this is the analytics. If the government wants to collect a group of people for taxes or something, this is the analytics. It's public.
This they already got it, man.
This is what Mark Zuckerberg's in trouble for, is doing this with us.
And he knew he was doing it.
And people are outraged, of course. So what they do with this, Coach, remember the previous training, 700,000 users, they took these categories and they fed them positive and negative ads. And they changed behavior of people using these analytics. This is
proof. Folks, you understand they found out that, let's say that they found out that you were on the fence about Trump. You didn't know about Trump. So they fed you negative stories on Trump. That's the way they do it, right?
Yep. And now, so this started during the Obama regime, and there was huge conflict about them using social media, but it all got hushed. It never made the media. So what they're afraid of is Trump is going to use the same tools, and that's why you see Zuckerberg getting in trouble and it's showing up on the media. They do not want...
They're selling this stuff, aren't they, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. People buy Facebook advertising.
Hey, Mark. Hey, this is George. For one thing, I'm driving. Another thing, I'm not a high-tech person. Is there any way you could put out step-by-step how to get to do what you just told people how to do and get that out to us?
I can, and you're welcome to call me direct, and we'll work one-on-one, okay?
Yeah, email it to Jared, and he'll get it out to everybody. Now, Mark, is there anything I can do about this? I mean, that's another
question, because Facebook rules of engagement or their rules is they have the ability to do that. You've agreed to it.
There's all the information on me, and so they unbelievable friends who've recently moved, housemate based households. Likely to engage with political content, owns an iPhone 6S. This is unbelievable, Mark. And so we can't even imagine probably what Google has. Google has another whole set of analytics that they're capturing on us.
That's right.
Hang on a second. So, Mark, yeah. I want people to understand this. So, in other words, if a story, let's say they find out that I am, I'm pro-abortion. So therefore, they will block any pro-life message from getting to me. Or you can flip it the other way. I'm pro-life, and they feed me pro-abortion stories or whatever because they want to manipulate the way I think.
They want to change your behavior. Facebook is a social behavior modification platform.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So everything we do is tracked to learn our behavior so that we can be marketed to change our behavior. Yesterday I sent out something crazy, right? It's a sensor you put on your teeth, and it measures what you eat. It measures the content of things in your mouth so that they can market to you. So people are getting these sensors now on their teeth. It's just there's no end to it, and it's just the world we're in. So peeling that back is kind of exposing the fuss on TV, right? This is the reasons why deeper into it.
Hey, Mark, what do you suppose the percentages are of people sitting in church have any idea what you just showed us? 0.0001%.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And it's whenever people say, well, I don't need my privacy. I don't care if they have that data. That's the decision they're making. And everyone does it because they don't want to do without the convenience of the phone. Everyone knows it, but they've made a choice to give the government the data. They know they're being watched. They know everything's being tracked. They know it in their hearts, but they avoid it. And they say, I don't need my privacy. But they don't know the impact of it.
Go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that Facebook is doing more than trying to change our behavior. They are fencing in our exposure. In other words, once they have all of us keep preaching to the choir, to each other. They do not sure their algorithms do not spread our posts and messages.
That's right. That's right. That's Larry. Very, very good point. Very good point. That's why I said I couldn't figure out why I'm seeing the same feeds seeing the same ones over and over and over because it's being blocked. The information that's trying to get to you is being blocked. Well, this is.
Hey, Coach.
This is really eye opening. Yes, Jared.
And just for those of you who are. Don't believe Larry. Just do the negative test, as I would call it. What do they call it? They call it social media. So what is it? It's not social.
Exactly. That's right, Jim. Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of whatever they call it. Just remember that.
It always is.
That's why it's so important to engulf yourself in the Word of God. That's why I don't get on till 6 o'clock in the morning. I have conditioned myself to give God the first part of my day. And because that they understand the infiltration and that they, you know, to manipulate God's word, it teaches us, it's the light unto our path. I'm not trying to get religious. I'm just telling you, brother, if, cause we spend so much time consumed looking at these devices. But how many of us are putting our nose into God's word to where, man, what does God say about this? What does God say? Now, in a lighter side of note, I posted on the little comment section there for Coach, because they couldn't manipulate Coach into thinking the way they wanted to think. They just simply block him.
Dale, that's a great point. That is a great point.
Amen.
They're seeing they're not having any influence, so they say, let's just shut this guy down. Now, let me point out something else I noticed real quick. I'm sorry. Somebody said, well, just get off Facebook. You know, you can't just get off Facebook. You know, there's really no way to delete your account on Facebook. You can make it inactive, but you cannot delete yourself off of Facebook.
And
go ahead, whoever's trying to
get it. They will not delete your data from their files.
Right. That's right. Once you're in, you're in.
Can I add something?
Yes, please do, Portia.
This is Sherry. Someone posted this in a private group that I'm in, medical coding group. I don't know how to share it, but it's an article from CNBC, so maybe you can look it up and find it. Here's the headline real quick. Facebook sent a doctor on a secret mission to ask hospitals to share patient data.
Whoa. I saw that this morning, Sherry. I saw that this morning. Believe it or not, I almost used it on the show. Say that again, Sherry, because let that sink in. What did Facebook do?
Facebook sent a doctor on a secret mission to ask hospitals to share patient data.
And that's against HIPAA violation.
Yeah, that's not that they were asking hospitals to share patient information with each other. Facebook wanted the hospitals to turn over patient information to them.
That's correct.
Mark just put that up in the chat. See if you can open that up so people won't think she's crazy.
Yeah, hey, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad that Dale mentioned his time.
A little late for that, Coach.
Yeah.
That Dale mentioned his practice of going to Scripture before he gets on the social media and stuff. And, you know, this morning, everybody probably seen this in the Word of God before I saw it, and how many times I've read it, I don't know. But you know the part where it talks about don't put new cloth on an old garment, or don't put new wine in old bottles?
Yeah.
That was one of those sections of Scripture that I had on what I call my back burner. I never really understood what that was all about and what the real, at least no pointed lesson to me had ever jumped out before this morning. But I just feel led to share what the Holy Spirit showed me about those couple of sentences there. And that's this. He was talking to the disciples of John the Baptist when he said that. You know, that's when John the Baptist's disciples were sent to him to, you know, check out and verify who he was or who he probably was, or they wanted proof, or they wanted backup verification. And then that's what he told them. Now, what he told them was, hey, you guys, you can't put my teachings in you. You've got John the Baptist stuff. You are built up with that on the inside of you. It says, but what I have can't go in that wineskin, can't go on that garment, because for what I have, even you have to be born again.
Wow.
Before you understand it.
Well, that's good, Larry. That is true for sure. And, you know, Mark just put something up on there. I'm trying to find you, Mark, on the chat. That Mark said, or Dale says, I get it, Larry. You can't put the social media into God's wineskin either. Jared's got up on the screen, running short here on time. Facebook backs off its creepy plans to secretly access private medical records and match the data to user profiles. This is 1984 New World Order, tinfoil hat stuff right in front of us, whether we want to believe it or not. Hey folks, have a great weekend. God bless Lexi. God bless Lexi for being with us today, and for Todd and Leslie, and for let us help them raise up that child and where she should go. Been a great encouragement to us. We are living in unbelievable times. Keep Jeremiah Thomas in your prayers. Keep Rusty and his family in his prayers. And, man, oh, man, they'll be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We'll see you Monday morning.